95. Whole World's Falling. "You work for Klein Cruz Vermette?" she asked a red-haired girl who was making up a bed for her in a smaller tarp-top section behind the one they'd eaten in. There was a bare slab of beige foam on the floor, nothing else. The girl had just popped a new sleeping bag out of a stuff sack, was unzipping it. "I do." She unrolled the bag and spread it on the foam. "Pillows haven't come. Sorry."
"How long?"
The girl looked at her. "The pillows?"
"When'd you start? At KZV?"
4 days ago."
"Got a gun in that pouch?"
The girl looked at her.
"You work for Griff? Like Clovis?"
"I'm at KCV.
"Keeping track of them?"
Same look. No answer.
"So what do you ordinarily do?"
"I'm not just trying to be some kind of hard ass," the girl said. "But I can't tell you. I'm under constraint, and that's aside from just basic OPSEC. Ask Griff."
She smiled to take the edge off. "Okay," said Flynn.
"Want a fast-acting sedative with a really short half-life?"
"No, thanks."
"Sleep tight, then."
When she was gone, it struck Flynn that she'd changed from her camis into really bad mom jeans and a man's blue tank top with a mascot of the Clanton Wildcats on the front. On the way in here, they'd passed Brent Vermette, wearing a boonie hat that Leon wouldn't have minded, and some kind of cheap black plastic watch. She stood the wheelie boy on the opening sleep bag, took off the soft armor jacket, rolled it, put it against the wall of Tyvek-bagged shingles at the head of the foam. Sat down on the foam and undid her laces, needed new shoes, took them off, leaving her socks on, stood up, took off her jeans, sat back down, picked up the wheelie, pulled the top of the open sleeping bag across her legs. It wasn't dark in here, or light either, just sort of blue, like being in the middle of a clear block of Holmes blue plastic. There was light up by the rafters, leaking from tarped-off sections where people were working. They might all be keeping it down so she and Burton could sleep. Lowered voices. She was in here because Clovis needed the other bed. Now they'd lifted the pill bug off Burton. Clovis had put on a helmet and examined the sutured hole in his thigh, doing what a surgeon in D.C. told her to, while seeing what she saw. Like Edward working long distance with a viz in each eye. But the helmet was older, the way government stuff could be, sometimes way ahead, sometimes way behind. Burton had been conscious but woozy, and Flynn had kissed his scratchy cheek and told him she'd see him in the morning.
"Hello?"
She looked at the wheelie boy, Netherton, big-eyed and big-nosed.
"You got the cam too close again," she told him.
He adjusted it, not that much better.
"Why are you whispering?"
"Quiet time, in here."
"I spoke with Lobir," he said. "In person. She isn't going to do it."
"I know," she said. "Griff told me."
He looked disappointed.
"I should have called you when I found out," she said. "But they were doing things to Burton's leg. She with you now?"
"She's upstairs, with Connor."
"Listening now?"
"Her modules," he said. "But they always are. She says she never intended to use that weapon."
"Macon was set to. Didn't know what it was, but he was ready."
"She would have been disappointed," she said, "if you hadn't objected. Then given them all stomach flu. Having made you immune."
"Maybe she should do that anyway. Why would she have been disappointed?"
"In you,"
he said.
"Me?"
"It was a test."
"Of what?"
"Evidently, she wanted to determine whether, as you might put it, you are an asshole."
"I'm just the only one who happened to see what happened. I could be an asshole and still ID the guy I saw. What would it matter?"
"I don't know," he said. "How is your brother?"
"Not bad, considering. They're mainly worried about infection."
"Why?"
"Because antibiotics don't work for shit." He gave her a look.
"What?"
she asked.
"You're still relying on antibiotics."
"Not that much. They only work about a third of the time."
"Do you get cold?"
he asked.
"When?"
"Colds. Common cold."
She looked at him.
"Don't you?"
"No."
"Why not?"
"Induced immunity. Only neo-primitives forgo it."
"They don't want to be immune from colds?"
"Ostentatiously perverse."
"I don't get that about you."
she said.
About what?
How you don't seem to like your own tech level, but you don't like people who opt out of it either.
They don't opt out of it. They volunteer for another manifestation of it, but with heritage diseases, which they then believe make them more authentic.
Nostalgic for catching colds?
If they could look as though they catch them but avoid any discomfort, they would. But others, insisting on the real thing, would mock them for their inauthenticity.
The wheelie's tablet rotated, creaking slightly.
Everything's blue.
They hung tarps to break up the space. This blue's Holmes' surplus. Cheapest stuff at Hefty is always Holmes' blue.
Holmes?
He asked. Homeland Security. Question for you, different topic. Are the people brought into work here trying to look local? I just saw a girl wearing jeans I'd figure she'd gnaw her legs off to get out of.
Ash brought in wardrobe stylists, and less demonstrative vehicles.
The parking lot out front looks like a BMW dealership.
It probably doesn't, now.
Look still across the street?
I think so, but Ossian's exploring buying them out.
Buying a church?
You may already own several. Cold Iron's acquisition strategy is entirely situational. If buying a church facilitates the next takeover, they buy the church.
Why is it called that? Cold Iron?
Spell correct. Ash chose Milagros because she likes them. Not miracles, but small metal charms offering to the saints, representing various suffering body parts. Calderon is a partner in a Panama City law firm Lev nearly hired, but didn't. Ash liked the sound of it, then liked the look of the accidental result.
You don't hang out a lot with artists.
I don't, no.
I would, if I could. What kind of music do you like?
Classical, I suppose,
he said.
What kind do you like?
Kissing cranes.
Cranes?
Like storks.
Kissing?
It's an old German trademark. Knives and razors. You have badger?
Music.
A site. Keeps track of your friends and stuff.
Social media.
I guess so.
It was an artifact of relatively low connectivity. If I remember correctly, you already have less of it than there was previously.
Now there's mostly just Badger and Darknet boards, if you're into that. I'm not. Hefty owns Badger. My peripheral there?
That cabin.
Can I see her? He reached up, giant fingers fumbling, and did something to his cam. She saw the room with the tacky marble desk, the little round leather armchairs. On the wheelie screen, it looked like a grifter bank, but for puppets. He got up, went into the back, along the skinny passage of slick wood, to where her peripheral, in a silky-looking black sweatshirt and black tights, lay on the ledge-like bunk, eyes closed. "Totally looks like somebody," she said. It really did. It was the opposite of something they'd build to meet some general idea of beauty. And if she understood correctly, nobody knew who it looked like. It was like the pictures in a box at a yard sale, nobody remembering who these people were, or even whose family, let alone how they came to be there. It gave her a sense of things falling, down some hole that had no bottom. Whole worlds falling, and maybe hers too. And it made her want to phone Janice, who was out at the house, and see how her mother was doing.